Hello and welcome to NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Christopher Marr. He is the chairman and CEO of Ocean First Bank and the current chairman of the New Jersey Bankers Association. Chris, welcome back.
Great to see you, Jeff.
Great to see you too. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to you about what's going on in the economy. And I think it's especially interesting now as we wind down 2022 and get into 2023 to get a read on what's going on. So I'd like to start first by just sort of your general assessment of what's going on now. From what you're seeing, your experience, are businesses and individuals, consumers, borrowing, investing, spending at levels that are conducive to growth in the short to midterm, as far as you can see?
I think, Jeff, as we think about where we are today in the fourth quarter, things are probably maybe even a little bit stronger than folks would have thought just a few months ago. So I would say conditions are stable, meaning that we've seen a slowdown in certain areas where we needed to see things slow down a little bit. Some of the construction trades, some of the logistics work and things like that. There have been kind of a review of people making net new big spends on things like warehouses and all that. But absent that, our customers continue to be busy. They still have backlogs, but not the same backlogs they might have had 6 months ago.
Okay.
Generally, the supply chain concerns are easing.
That's good.
But not everywhere. I mean, there's still some significant bottlenecks. Housing is slow, but moving, right? The inventories remain tight. Pricing, in New Jersey, statewide, prices are up year over year, not as much as they were earlier in the year. So I think we're seeing a moderation, but in general, a reasonably strong fourth quarter. Good jobs. New Jersey's posting some of the best jobs numbers ever recorded.
Okay.
So there's a lot of strength in the economy that I think may be underappreciated if you're kind of watching the wider news, but things are swelling.
Okay. All right. You touched on a number of things I wanted to drill down on a little bit, but before we get to the individual markets, again, I'm just curious about some of the headwinds. We've talked about this before, inflation being the main one. You mentioned the supply chain disruptions have started to ease off a little bit. That should be reducing some of the pressure. But just this morning, we've got wholesale prices, producer price index that went up a little bit more than most folks were expecting. How concerned should business owners be about inflation now? How concerned are you? What do you think is the outlook at this point?
I think we're seeing definite signs of certain components of inflation are easing. So, for example, if you look at the price of goods, things you buy, and people are starting to see that a little bit, whether you're buying, kind of furniture, household goods, those prices are coming down. The availability is getting better. But we're still seeing persistent inflation in services. So, think about hospitality, people that want to go out to, say, a restaurant or take a trip. So overall, the inflation number is still higher than we'd like to see. And I think we have to be reasonable about our expectations for how that's going to change over the next year.
Okay.
Inflation is not something that is we're going to wake up one morning and see that it dropped back down to 2%.
Right.
This is a gradual change. The rate moves so far are having an impact. So I think we just have to let this play out. And most of the folks I talk with believe that you may not really see significant decreases in inflation until the second half of next year.
The second half, or the decreases in inflation. Okay. That brings us then to interest rates. The Fed has made some comments Fed officials have made some comments suggesting that the rate of increases might slow down a little bit. But on the other hand, the big jobs number suggested that might be premature. How have calculations changed as interest rates are going up, and how will they change, do you think, going forward as the Fed continues down this path?
Yeah, we're in a blackout window right now around the Fed, and because of my service with the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia, I won't kind of comment on monetary policy. But
understood.
Happy to talk about employment, because I think employment is something we're all watching. It remains stronger than people might have thought at this stage, and I actually view that as a positive. And that may sound strange, but we do need inflation to moderate, but we don't want to have an outcome, especially in 2023. Where you have what I would call a jobs recession. So, a recession that is a slowing of the economy that kind of brings inflation under control. I think that's a very positive thing.
Okay.
If there is a way to do that without, you know, fundamentally hurting the jobs number, I think we're going to be in much better shape.
Okay. Well, you anticipated the next question, which was about the possibility of a recession. Again, you can't talk about monetary policy, but just in general, what are you hearing from folks? Are they worried? Your clients, your customers, are they concerned about the possibility of a major slowdown next year?
You know, everybody is, there is a sense of concern. There is an apprehension about what conditions will be. And I think the uncertainty is the thing that's making it most difficult. Understanding when we might actually see more significant impacts, the degree of the recession. Well, you know, recessions are, and I want to minimize them because they cause pain throughout the economy, but they happen. They're a part of the business cycle. Most of our clients, although they may be kind of focused on a little apprehensive, it's not getting in the way of them making important decisions for their business. So it's not getting in the way of them hiring thus far, okay, making large capital decisions. I think one of the experiences we've all seen is that over the last couple of years, we've come to appreciate the quality of the workforce we have. I know I do here at the bank. And you know, whether conditions are optimal or not optimal, you know, if you've got good employees, you want to hang on to them. And if you're looking for talent, it could take you 3, 6, 9 months, in some cases a year, to find great talent. So I think our clients are saying, you know what, might be a little bit softer next year. I'm not going to jump the gun. I'm not going to resort to, you know, kind of laying people off if I don't have to. It's hard enough to find people. Why would I, you know, why would I separate them from my company?
Well, that's an interesting point, because what we've been hearing so much about hiring now, how difficult it was, particularly over the past, say, year or so. On the other hand, you see tech companies laying people off at a fairly fairly quick clip. It's interesting that you're hearing that, you know, businesses might be a little reluctant to try to do that now, because you're going to have to staff up again when the economy picks up. Is that the dynamic that you're seeing?
Yeah, no question. I mean, when you think about our kind of Main Street businesses, you know, these could be small manufacturers or logistics companies. You know, it takes them so long to find a qualified, you know, warehouse worker, or driver, or engineer.
Right.
That if you go to that effort to find one, you certainly don't want to lose it. And then we're seeing, and we've seen this in our own workforce, you know, turnover had become a higher number for many businesses over the course of the last 18 months. That's tapering off now. I think people are realizing that, you know, yes, they may have a little bit of an economic opportunity to get a slightly higher wage somewhere else. But when you're going into a potential recession, do you want to start a new job with an employer where you don't have a history, you don't have those connections, the friends, the kind of the work relationships that contribute a lot to the way we work every day? So we're seeing a decrease in turnover. I think other employers are as well. I view that as a healthy thing, having a little better bond between our employers and their employees.
Okay. Now I want to talk a little bit about some of the other things you mentioned, specific markets. First, housing. You had said that you thought that had slowed down a little bit. That had been extraordinarily strong, particularly along the shore during the pandemic and immediately after. Is it a case, what you're seeing, is it a case that it just couldn't sustain that level of growth? Or was there some other dynamic that's slowing down the sales and keeping prices, the rate of increase lower?
Yeah, I think what's happened here is, obviously, as mortgage rates go up, the housing affordability has become a real issue. That has caused those that create housing, right, our construction companies, to voluntarily kind of pull back a little bit and to go more slowly. They're a little apprehensive about getting deep into large projects going, you know, well into the next couple of years. But it's interesting, that doesn't mean it stopped. We still have some terrific projects coming. You know, we're just looking at one last week that it's probably going to be delivered in 2 years. You know, that builder is looking at it saying, you know, he's perfectly comfortable going into the ground now, understanding it's going to take a couple of years. By that point, we should be well past this economy.
Okay.
I'd also point out that New Jersey is a little different than many parts of the country. We're part of this kind of Northeast megapolis,
right,
where it's very hard to build new housing units, right? There are zoning laws, there are local municipalities involved. So we don't tend to overbuild in good times. And that means that typically, even in recessionary times, our housing values hold better than they might in states like Florida or Arizona or Texas, where you have, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of new units flooding into the market.
Right.
We don't tend to see those kind of shifts in New Jersey.
Okay. All right. Interesting point. Although that does, I'm guessing that keeps that keeps rents high, that keeps resale prices high as well.
That's the bad side to it. You know, mm-hmm. So when you look at resale prices, I think in October, they were still 6% over last year. If you look at the affordability of apartments, you know, these are real concerns that there is another side of this, where if you're not able to supply, to meet the demand for housing, it creates an unhealthy situation around affordability.
Right.
And
right.
Well, you know, we often talk about affordability as it relates to interest rates, forgetting the interest rates, right? Just the affordability of the house, the land, the lots, the approvals, the trades, the contractors, the lumber, the appliances. So affordability has a lot of dynamics, and it's something we need to work on here in New Jersey.
Right. I mean, that's what I was thinking. I was a first-time buyer. It's been very difficult, has been over the past couple of years for those folks to try to get into this. And that's, go ahead.
It's particularly sad now when you look at the median home value in our state, you know, approaching $500,000, that first-time home buyer, the person who wants to kind of establish a home, start to build equity for their family, it is a really, really tough time. And I think statewide, it would be worth spending a lot of time talking about the policies that are causing that, because affordable housing is a necessary a kind of element of a well-working community.
Right. Certainly. Yes. Okay. And then what about commercial real estate? You mentioned logistics had been a driver of that. I think you said you saw a little bit of softening in that market. How soft is it getting? Where is that going, do you think?
I think it's more of a plateau. It had been at a pretty good clip for a number of years. And there are kind of two things that are happening. The first is you have a couple of the largest national users of warehouse space, you know, folks like Amazon and Walmart pulling back. So that's a big deal. But you also find that many of our customers are in this situation. They need more space than they would have needed pre-COVID. They're keeping larger inventories. They're keeping kind of secondary and tertiary supplies of things. They want to have more finished goods so they can kind of respond a little bit more easily to demand. They don't want to wait for something coming from China. So, so yes, there's been a little bit of a pullback in demand. I think you'll see fewer mega projects, if you will. But so far, the existing inventory is well tenanted. The rents are holding up. So I don't think we're going to see a dramatic change. I'd also point out, I'm not sure everyone appreciates this, that the port in Newark and the work we did around that has been a phenomenal advantage to our state. So it's now, for the first time in 22 years, it regained the number two and then the number one spot nationally in terms of handling cargo coming direct from Asia. So we now have the busiest port in the United States, and that's a good thing for the economy in New Jersey.
Right. I was just actually talking to someone the other day. The number of jobs that are connected to the port is immense. I mean, it's one of the biggest drivers of employment in the region.
Absolutely. And you know, those projects, it's kind of easy to complain when it takes years and years to kind of dredge the harbor and raise the bridges and go through all that. But the ability to take the Panamax cargo ships that come through the new Panama Canal is a real differentiator for the New York Metro. Including certainly northern New Jersey.
Right. And you mentioned raising the bridge, the Bayonne Bridge, to allow those larger container ships to come through. And that really was a really farsighted thing to do, because that made a huge difference.
Yeah. Okay. When you think about, you know, going from the number three port to the number one port just in the last 3 months, and we're accelerating. So that's a really good thing.
Yeah. Okay. And one more thing, since we're in the holiday season, our retail reporter, Kim Redman, just finished a story about some of the early numbers from retail sales. What do you know about the retail industry? Her reporting suggested that the holiday sales, the early holiday sales were fairly strong, looking good going forward. What are you hearing again from where you are about how retailers are faring these days?
That's consistent with what we're seeing. The consumer remains strong, although they are spending down their kind of excess cash. So you can imagine that by the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, we're going to have to see a slowing as people kind of run out of the excess cash they have. But when we look at the debit card spend, we can see how people are spending. They're spending their money the same as they were, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago. They may be selecting different retailers, though. So, you know, they're very price conscious. So more so than maybe in previous holiday seasons. So, you know, they're thinking a lot, you know, we see this a lot in the food business. You know, where you're selecting to buy your food might be changing,
right.
You know, more sensitive to higher prices, and choosing your, you know, which stores you go to and maybe what you buy in the store, but you're still buying.
Right. Okay. So given all that, I mean, there's a lot of this, there's positives, there's negatives. How confident are you, and how confident are you hearing from your customers and clients that they are about next year, about 2023? Is there a lot of confidence, or is it more uncertainty?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty over the first 6 months of next year. I would think about it as a year that may be very well divided between the first half and the second half. And in the first half, we need to see inflation begin to get under control, seeing successive months where you see inflation coming down.
Sure.
That would then lead to a little moderation in interest rates, a little more buying power for those people, you know, trying to get the affordable homes we were talking about.
Right.
But that's going to take several months to unwind. So I think by next summer, we're all hopeful that we will be on the tail end of that and maybe moving forward into a new and maybe slightly different expansion, but the opportunity to see growth coming back a little stronger. So, you know, our best hope is that you have some weakness, probably mainly in Q1, Q2, and that by Q3, you should start to see inflation, us feeling a lot better about inflation, us feeling a lot better about the way, say, mortgage rates are moving and the housing market. And then maybe by the fourth quarter, feeling like we're through this cycle, the uncertainty's gone, and you know, that would be our hope for next year.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. And finally, before I let you go, I'm curious about the bank itself, how the bank's business is going. Back in November, you terminated a merger agreement with Partners Bancorp. Is M&A still in the future for Ocean First? What in general, what is your outlook in general for the bank's business?
Yeah, as you mentioned, Jeff, we terminated the merger agreement we struck a little more than a year ago, and that was really around external situations and the regulatory process and difficulty kind of getting that done in a timely manner. And we would have welcomed the opportunity to expand into Delaware, Maryland, and beyond.
Right.
As we look forward, we've got a great organic business. We've been adding commercial bankers over the last several years. We have a big business, obviously, here in New Jersey, but a growing business in New York, Philadelphia, now in Boston and Baltimore. So we've been growing faster than our peers. We've been ready for the interest rate environment. So our level of profitability has actually expanded throughout the year as our margins came up. So, you know, we're pleased. It looks like 2022 is going to be a great year for the bank and position us well to continue to grow in 2023. But we'll be doing that growth the old-fashioned way, you know, bringing in bankers and winning customers one at a time and strengthening our business in New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, and Baltimore.
Okay. Well, I hope you come back. I always like talking to you. I'd like to hear again how that's going and how your assessment of what next year is going to look like turns out.
All right. Great. Great to see you, Jeff. Thank you.
Great to see you. Chris Maher, Chairman and CEO of Ocean First Bank. Thank you very much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.